It may be good. It may be seen as wonderful or beneficial. But ultimately, it doesn't actually have any meaning. Because good in this world also is lost. Everything is lost. So what's important is the connection to the Lord. Because He is the creation. He is the activities of the creation. He is the results of the activities of this creation. You see it in relationship to Him, everything goes nice. Right? One is benefited, one goes back to Godhead. One doesn't see it in connection with this, then one is not benefited. It may appear, oh yes, one got some nice material facility, nice situation, but ultimately it has no meaning, no benefit. That's very important to understand. So this canto is opening with this point, because otherwise we're going to see a lot of variety of activities here and results. And so it must be seen that for the devotees, it's the quality of its connection to the Lord that has meaning. Otherwise it has no meaning. Right? That's the thing. Why is Mahaprasad attractive? Why is everybody is interested? Because it's connected to Krishna. It's not just because it's nice food. It's because it's connected to Krishna. Right? That's the point. Let's say we have some samosas. They're offered to Krishna. We have some samosas. They're not offered to Krishna. And we point it out to the devotee. These are offered to Krishna. These are not offered to Krishna. The devotee will eat the ones offered to Krishna. Why? So it's not just eating. It's that eating is connected to the Lord. So like this, then everything must be connected. Just because it's good, it's not good enough. Nowadays, there's the very fine veneer. And I mean very fine, like almost transparent. The veneer over everything that if it's good and nice, liberal, tolerant, then that is perfection. It is for the particular economic social system that's being run in the world. But as far as the devotee is concerned, why is it good? What is the basis for its being good? Why do you choose what is good and not in your life? Is good because it's connected to Krishna? Then that's correct. If it's good simply because you grew up that way, your friends say like that, you have issues, so therefore you say like that, it's just the wind is blowing, you know, that way today, so you say like this. What's the reason? Right? If it's not connected to Krishna, even though everybody may say it's great, it still has no meaning. It's still temporary. The results of it come to us, yes, but the reactions of that also come to us. If it's connected to Krishna, then results may come, but there's no reaction. You do service for Krishna, you may get facilities, but there's no reaction for those facilities. But if it's not connected to Krishna, then those reactions, they don't give, those reactions will bind one to this world. So if you think that's good, then go on with the idea of what is good. If you want to get out of the material world, then you go by what is connected to Krishna. That is good. Very important, very simple, but sometimes elusive understanding. So, yeah. And here also is given that Swayambhuva Manu is very glad that there was a son and a daughter, because as he had made an arrangement that the son of his daughter would come to him and be considered his own son, then being Prajapatis, being householders, naturally children are an important aspect, and that relationship, that interaction with the children is very important. So he was happy when he saw that there was a daughter, because then that family interaction and that would be able to go on with Ruchi and Akuti. So it's not just that he's looking to see that he's taking care of this, connected to Krishna, but also that these rules and regulations of the scriptures, what is the purpose, why people are doing things, then that is also taken care of. As the leader of mankind, then he has to see that everything is going nicely socially. Right? The social reason must be seen. But he will see it in connection to the Lord. Right? So it's not just purely sentiment. No, it's a matter of you're dealing with sentiment. It's not sentimental itself. So he is very careful to see to such details. It means if you're going to take care of the whole of mankind, then you should be able to take care of details such as this, because detail is important to an individual. So Swayambhuva was very careful to see these things. Any questions on this? Why would the Lord marry his sister? Because it's not exactly his sister, it's his wife. But the point is what are your options at this stage of the creation? You only have children and grandchildren of Brahma. Right? So then the Lord and his wife come in this way. Right? So that's there. So that's the perspective. The second is that you're dealing with Prajapatis. You're dealing with, the demigods and that. So you don't have this problem of being inbred, right? Like that. Even though they're coming, they're living in hills, you know, like that. But they don't... Does that make sense? It's just different rules for them. Because the different rules are there because they are carrying out the results of their previous activities. You're not creating any new karma here. See, the human being is creating karma. Well, the demigod's not. You know, it's just like when you're at home, you go to your job, you work at your job, you get money. So you're under the rules of that job, right? But when you go on vacation, you're only spending money. You're not under the rules of your job anymore. So in the same way, the demigods aren't under the human laws like that. Does that make sense? But because they're situated in goodness, everything goes generally very nicely like that. Is that okay? Okay, thank you. Yes. What is the proper interaction? What is the proper interaction between father and daughter, but in what connection? In what connection? What is the general relationship between father and daughter? Okay. I mean, the basic principle will always be that of protection. The father is taking care of the daughter, so he's creating an environment that she grows up in a safely. So safely means, as we saw in the previous chapter, in the third canto, that means, you know, taking care of their whatever's their needs, material and spiritual. So according to their nature, that's protection. Right? Just like, let us say you have a horse. You protect the horse by arranging the facilities that are proper for a horse. Right? It means if you get, okay, you have an old doghouse out in the backyard and stick the horse in that, it won't be exactly protection. Right? One, you probably won't be able to get the horse into the doghouse. Maybe take the roof off, stick it in, put the roof back on. But you know, so that means the horse has horse facilities. It's taken care of like a horse. It's engaged in activities like a horse. It's fed like a horse. You interact with it like a horse. You know, like a horse, you pet it on the cheek. You don't pet dogs on the cheek. Right? You know, things like that. You don't pet cats on the cheek. Right? So every living entity has its particular nature. So therefore, the father taking care of the daughter according to her nature as a girl, then that will be the protection. So if that's done, then that naturally will then be responded that the girl being feel protected will identify with that family, will take up the values of that family, will take up the activities and you know, goals of that family, because that's where she feels her identity is there. She's been dealt with as a girl, so she can identify there. If she's not dealt with, she'll identify somewhere else. Therefore, she'll take up someone else's values. Right? Perfect example is the modern teenager. they take up someone else's values because they don't actually have that shelter in the house. Right? So one may... So then that means that's why I was asking what's specific, because that's very generic. But when you go to apply that, then you're going to have very much the specifics of the family, the particular girl, the situation they're in. And so you're going to have a lot of variety there. For one family, what's protection, another family may not be. Does that make sense? It's always very difficult when you ask very broad, general questions and you want very specific, detailed answers. Like that. Yes. Okay. Okay, narrow it down. Okay, so here is that now bringing out a specific detail of, okay, on interaction between the father and the daughter, that father and son, they may chastise. But father and daughter, it will always be pleasant. You know, and similarly, it'll be the opposite. The mother is always very nice with the son, but she'll be very strict with the daughter. So mothers are strict with daughters, fathers are strict with sons, but they're the opposite with, you know, the other. So, but even in here, if you're explaining something, even you're saying, so chastisement would mean that you would be using a strong mood. But it doesn't mean that one can't use intense moods. It doesn't mean that you can't speak the truth. It simply means that the deliverance must carry the fullness or intensity of the relationship. Right? In other words, let us say the daughter's done something wrong. So whenever the reaction of, you know, unless it's something, an emergency situation, but otherwise, when the reaction of it, the emotions have subsided from whatever's happened according to something not being done correctly. In other words, at first there'll be that support, right? It means direct support. They've done something wrong, let's say they dropped, you know, a glass and it broke, and so they, you know, you don't chastise, you just be supportive of what happens, is that. Then later on, it can be mentioned about, you know, the importance of being careful and this and that and all these things, but it's in relationship, it's in connection with the relationship. It's delivered according to the nature of the relationship. So whatever is their particular detail, maybe more emotion, more intellect, you know, more analytical, less analytical, whatever is the specifics of the relationship, because you're going to have Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, so there's going to be a mix of whatever is the mood, right? Does that make sense? So that would be there, but it's not that things can't be said, it's just how they're said and when's the time to say them. That's the art, is when is the time. Like that. Does that make sense? Improper behavior, but... Okay, so improper behavior, but saying chastisement depends on what you, how you define chastisement. Chastisement can be pointing out a fault, but it still can be pointed out very pleasantly. So here, if we define chastisement by a raised voice, emotion, anger, these kind of things, that's to be avoided. But if it's a matter of giving correct direction and things like that, that can be done. You know, it's just like we see. I can't think of an example now, but I can remember Prabhupada would bring up a point about, you know, like he was chastised, someone was chastised, but you see, is that the method it was done wasn't what we would call chastisement. In other words, it was correction. Right? So this correction, then, one has to see. So With boys, it's man to man, man to the son is very direct because it's a similar mentality. You can deal with it immediately. Mother to daughter, you can deal with it basically pretty much immediately. But the other way, especially means mother to son, it can be done more quickly because generally the ladies being more impatient want to deal with it now because it's an emotional issue, they have to deal with it. But the son being trained, you know, how to deal with women, then it works. But father to daughter, then you have to wait. So you may be able to say something immediately, maybe after some hours, days, weeks, months, even years. Sometimes you have to wait before something can actually be said. Because the point is there's no use in saying it if it doesn't actually affect the result. One may feel good, okay, I have said what I want to say, it gets it off my chest, but that's me. What has it got to do with a relationship? Relationship is father says something, daughter appreciates it and can do it. So it's a matter of facts, pointing out facts. Facts aren't a problem, right? But it's a matter of what is the tone of dealing with the facts, right? If you're telling the daughter's behaving improperly, you tell her that this behavior is not good because it's not good for her. How it won't be good for her. How other examples of others who have tried this and what's happened to them. But it's all done in the proper mood, tone of voice, right situation. There's not going to be any embarrassment in front of others. She can see that it is beneficial for her. Then that's there. So you could say that's a correction. But the thing is it's actually training, it's education. So education is actually the proper way of chastisement. These others are there because people have this sense of justice. People have this sense of pranamoy that material world has a value, so if it doesn't work perfectly, it's got to be someone's fault, and it's definitely not ours, right? You know, it's got to be someone else. So this element of retribution is there. So these things we see that are mentioned in the Vedas where, you know, someone steals, you know, you cut off his hand or this or that, that kind of stuff is because it's done because that's what others want to see. Then they think this is just, the material world is running smoothly and perfectly, now I can be happy here. But in actuality, Prabhupada points out there's no benefit, really. The person's purified of the reaction of that. They won't get a reaction to a stealing, so he won't end up, let's say, poor in his next life or have people steal from him. That reaction's clear, but his mentality to steal will remain. So he'll do it again, so it's just a matter of... But education actually clears and corrects the ignorance, because it's due to ignorance. So actually, all dealings, chastising must be educational. You know, but the educational should be presented through the medium that is, not the word contemporary. The word means that it deals with the point. You know, when should the father think about? When should he think about arranging for the marriage of the daughter? In this day and age, basically, it depends upon the community. Because the point is even if the father has all good intention, the daughter is in line with that, other members of the family may, but if the community doesn't like it, then they like to make it their own business. So then you have to work within. Legal age nowadays, 18, Prabhupada mentioned 16. Many, depending upon the country, 16 is pretty standard as far as marriage for girls, not for boys. Like that. I think most states in America, 16 is fine. Some states even 15, because they've just seen that's the way it works. Boys have to be older, but girls, because they have to be able to, you know, get a job, not have to be in school and all that. So you'd have to balance that with also the nature of the girl, like that, and what a community sees. Because the problem is you're not dealing with. When people understand the nature of what a girl is, then it becomes much easier to deal with girls. But when you have a community that is actually very much an illusion about what a girl is, it's very hard to actually deal with girls. You know what I'm saying? Because girls just turn into women. There's nothing in between. You have girl and you have woman. She may not want to take the responsibility of a woman, right? You know, therefore, then the song, I'm not a girl, I'm not a woman, because they don't want to take the responsibility. But they have, they think, they feel, they desire, they need that of a woman. So if that's understood, then how do you deal with this that's appropriate for the situation and them and that? But then to try to say that it's something different, that illusion, then actually one can't create social sanity, right? And then because of that, also, even though they may think like a woman, they don't have the maturity of one. And so then you have to consider that element also. Without the maturity, how they will do these things. As it is, we see adults in their 20s, 30s aren't mature enough to have children, right? You know, it's like for them, it's, you know, you have children, it's nice, you see them here and there, and then you have somebody who takes care of them so you can go to the spa and out, and you have your job and everything like that. So it's like, you know, you have, it's another paraphernalia. You know, I have my BMW, I got my high-powered, you know, job like that, professional job. I got my, you know, fancy house. I got my, you know, jewelry and all that. I have my kid, you know, I have my, you know, all this and that. The list just goes on. So there, then you'd have to actually look at the question, if you want to look at it, what age should they get married, is along with it more important is what is their qualification to get married? Are they actually qualified to be married? Are they actually qualified to interact between a boy and a girl? Because in interaction, there's responsibility. Modern tries to make it into a game. And they somehow or another legalize the game, saying, oh, well, this is how you find out who the person is. Right? You know, somehow or another, I know everything about... The modern idea is, I'll know everything about the other person by touching various parts of their body. And if I like touching their body there, and they like it, then that's a perfect marriage. Because otherwise, what does it mean the boy and girl spend time together? Are they talking about their future life, what they're going to do, if they're going to have children or not, how many children, how their children are going to be educated, how they're going to dress their children, what kind of food is in the house, how are they medically going to take care of these children, how are they going to chastise their children, right? How much are they themselves committed to Krishna consciousness? You know, how much do they want to be involved? How much do they want their children involved? Are these the conversations that, you know, the teenage boys and girls have? If it's not, they're not ready to get married. Because one could say, well, we don't hear about that before, because before they were from exactly the same community, so it was known what their values were. And then you would see other parents and other families, and you know there's a match. But in the modern, you have the boys from this side of the planet, the girls from that side of the planet. You don't know from Adam. You know, okay, you can work out anatomically, okay, this is a boy, this is a girl. But more than that, then, does that make sense? So it's a very big picture. I mean, if we take it and boil it down to an issue, oh, what is the age, you know, like this. But that's, problem is that gives people some reason to breathe another breath, you know, and for many. Because it gets their bio moving, you know, it may digest lunch, because it's an issue for them. But if you're really maturely approaching it, then what is the qualifications, and what is the system to create that qualification? And if that's not dealt with, then it won't actually, there will be no resolution, even though Matt, you have a whole room full of people, and they discuss, and they give their opinions, nicely or not. At the end of the day, everyone will go away and nothing will change, because you haven't actually made a plan that can train them and make them prepared for what they're going to see. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, so the question is what is there a cutoff limit for when a daughter should leave the house, otherwise she may affect the... husband-wife dynamics that are there. According to Manu, then it mentions that, you know, at, whatever is the early age that the girl needs to be married. Manu mentions that you have, since, you know, it means topical, since we're dealing with slang movie here, is that you have different kinds of girls. Those that need to be married as early as possible, those that's a little later, and those that's later than that. And generally it depends upon more how much they're inclined towards kind of more intellectual or academic kind of studies. If they're more analytical in that, then they get married later. If they're more emotional in that, they should get married earlier. Right? Because you have to engage these tendencies. It says that the girl should marry a boy who's equally matched. And that is brought up many, many times. And it says if they're not equally matched, don't bother. And it said better a girl, means Mana's point is all the girls should get married, but better they stay in their father's house for their full life than marry a bozo. Like that. That's the basic principle. Because the point is if it's protection of daughter or protection of the girl, you're handing the daughter over from protection of the father to protection of the husband. So if he can't protect, better she's not handed over because she won't be taken care of. And the mother-daughter, why there shouldn't be, what would be the problem with the dynamic like that? Means if the protection is there, then the daughter naturally is very pleasant and interactive and inspiring, dealing with the family and relatives and that, you know, whatever's their close community. Modern, you get a problem where the mother doesn't want to be the old one and doesn't this and that. So that's the mother's problem. It's not the father-daughter dynamic. That's the mother. The mother's screwed up because she wants to be the, you know, little hot number. But the point is she's not the hot number. You know what I'm saying? And so the sooner she understands that, the more actually she'll be happy. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, of course, the daughter shouldn't also try to harass in that way. You know? But at the same time, it should go properly. You know, there's like Prabhupada, one of his daughters, never got married. You know? She stayed in the house the whole time. You know, others did, but she didn't. Because somehow it didn't work out. You know? And you never hear of any problems. Basically, but probably because the fans, I'm getting kind of every third word. Could you say it like in one sentence? The daughter should learn the qualities of surrender. She can learn that by serving spiritually. Okay, so then that will make her qualified to deal with the marriage. Yes, yes, no, it'll work. The point is that the principle of daughter and the principle of father is generic. It can have many forms, biological, it can be step-parents, it can be other senior men within the family or younger girls within the family. You know, even, let's say, within brothers and sisters. The older brothers or older sisters, their brothers and sisters, you know, husbands or wives, technically are like their sons and daughters. You know, the oldest brother, his wife, they're like mother and father in the family to younger brothers, younger sisters, and their husband and wife. So the thing can be applied anywhere, it can be learned. It's just its method will be different. But the principle is the same, like that. The principle of protection So that principle of surrender and that can be there, but the surrender comes because of protection. If there's protection, there's surrender. Right? It means just like you look at it, if we look at history, then why are there revolutions? Is there a revolution in a country where it's seen that there is a government that is taking care of the people, everything's prosperous and everything's really nice? Is there revolution? Right? Does that make sense? You're supposed to answer this question. You ask the question, so... Right? Did catch that? No. If you have a good government and it's taking care of the people, protecting them, is there revolution? No. So when does revolution come? When people aren't being protected. So therefore, if there's protection, there's automatically surrender. The two go together. You know, like that. So this idea is that you got to surrender. The focus is just on the surrender. What about the other side of it? Now we'll say, oh, but in our philosophy, it's just surrender to Krishna. But look at it. What is Krishna doing for us? Is he taking care of our needs? Do we have air? Do we have light, water? You know, do we have all the things that are necessary? Okay, what we do with it, that's another discussion. But he's taking care. He's come in our heart. He's given us the Vedas. He's come as the spiritual master, the parampara, everything. So he is fully protecting. Therefore, it's natural. All we have to do is surrender, and the relationship is complete. But it's not like we're surrendering, therefore, then only there's a relationship. Right? One may argue, okay, but then Krishna says, as you surrender, I'll reciprocate. But that is how he's going to interact in the relationship. It doesn't mean the relationship. You understand? But sometimes we see in our preaching, we just tell, oh, you have to surrender. Like that. But is the protection there? Oh, don't get mental, just go out there and do it. Okay, that's nice. That takes care of, okay, the mind, you're getting distracted and all that, but is the identity there? Is that support there? Is the training there, how to do it? Now, if you do it, are they going to tell you that was great? You know what I'm saying? So then that element means it's not that because one's authority, one can demand surrender. No, because one is authority, one has to give protection. Protection will automatically generate surrender. You understand? It just goes together. It means you put the pot on the fire, and it will automatically get cooked. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that the cooking is separate from putting the pot on the fire. The two go together. So we're not used to this concept. So we don't know what protection is. Therefore, we surrender is simply more Machiavellian. Okay, so this is the point. You see Krishna's protecting. Therefore, then when you were asked to cook and you're not comfortable with it, but you see Krishna's taking care, so there must be some purpose here. So then you do it. That's the point. Krishna's taking care. Therefore, you are comfortable to surrender. Right? Like that. Is that okay? So, end here. Like that. Anyone continue with questions? We'll do that after the class. Are children important in a grihastha's life? Meaning, whether they have them or once they have them. Whether they have them. Okay, so the discussion is not once they have them, are they important? Yes? No? No. Is your question... Is it important for grihasthas to have children? Or is your question, grihasthas who have children, are the children important? The first one. Okay. Is it important for grihasthas to have children? What would be the consideration not to have children? So if you have children, there'll be attachment. Okay, so then you're saying that there's no attachment to the husband. There's some attachment. Okay, but now you're working on the principle that attachment's bad. So if attachment's bad, why would you get married? Because that's also an attachment. You know what I'm saying? Why wear nice jewelry? Why comb your hair? Why pick out what particular cloth and colors and match that? Why do all that? That's all attachment, no? Okay, in the tradition of India, you have to get married. Why don't you ask those who say this is the tradition what they say about children? What will those who say the tradition of women is to get married, what are they going to say about children? They have to have children. So therefore, if you're taking the traditional line, then why have children? You know what I'm saying? Why have children? See, as one has to remember that youth is from 16 to 30. Okay? Then from 30 to 50, that's middle age. and then from 50 above, that's okay? So in youth, that exuberance of youth, there's the idea of eternality and everything's going to go on. So one's gaining one's control, one's getting one's position, one's getting money, facilities, all that kind of stuff. So you think that's really good. And you're so busy with it, but ultimately, is your nice house, is your professional job, are all your nice clothes and jewelry and fancy phone, are they going to be there for you? Then you come back to people. Okay. So now those people are there. Okay. And so is it a matter of you have just one set of people and that's enough? You have one friend, that's it. You never look for another friend. Right? No. And like you go out and you buy a sari you like, you know, so you never buy another one because you already have one you like, right? You buy one set of earrings, I mean, how many holes do you have in your ears? So you can only buy that many. And then, you can only wear that many, so actually you don't need more than that, right? Because you already have. Right? Okay, but is this the way you act? No. Okay, so the idea is you expand. So why wouldn't one expand relationships? Right? And what's important? Let's say, okay, you have a bunch of sisters, okay? And there's a bunch of jewelry. And it doesn't belong to any of them. Right? And they all use it. You know, today this sister wears this one, today that sister wears that one. So, okay, when you're younger, that works. But when you get older, is that enough? Or is there the concept of possession? You understand? So possession makes you feel secure. Right? This is my family, my clothes, my relationships. Okay? So then, on that realm and the material, then what is can be considered more of a accomplishing the state of possession than children?